talking about abiding in God today. 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 24. And so let's all open our Bibles there. And if you want to stand, if you're able to stand for a moment for the reading of God's Word, we're going to read verses 24 through 29 of chapter 2. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words, we see the word abide a lot. And so I pray that you would just bless us today to better understand what that means. I pray that every man, woman, and child that's standing in this room today knows what it means for God to live in them. I pray that they know because they are experiencing it. Now, I know that ultimately we're all created in the image of God, but we're not born a Christian. Becoming a Christian is something we have to make the voluntary choice at some point in our life as you draw us to submit our will to your will, to submit ourselves to Jesus as our King. To say, Jesus, I believe you're alive. I believe that you rose from the dead after conquering death and sin on the cross, and that the power of the enemy was destroyed on that cross for all who trust in Jesus. So I pray that if we know that and we have submitted to you, that we are also experiencing the anointing of the Spirit as we spoke of last week. And that in so doing, we are also learning what it means to abide in God. Help us, Lord, to grow in our ability to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a seat. As we look at this, I believe this is being shown to us again. This is one of those absolute signs of salvation. This isn't like an optional thing, like you can be saved and not abide in God or abide in God. I think you're either abiding in God and saved, or if you're not abiding in God and he's not abiding in you, you're not saved. I think it's really important for us to be able to capture this. Now, I will be the first to admit that every Christian will have highs and lows in their life. And sometimes we may walk away from God for a time, but if you're his child, he's not going to let you stay there. You see, he's not okay with us walking away from him and forgetting about him and just saying that, you know, we want to do our own thing now. If you belong to Christ, he will discipline you to bring you back. He's a good shepherd. And remember that the good shepherd doesn't do it to be harmful to the sheep. The good shepherd does it because he wants to protect the sheep. You know, when we get out away from the shepherd, we're in danger. He wants us to abide in him. That word abide is a Greek word. It comes from a Greek word, meno. And it means to stay, to remain. You notice it doesn't just say abide around, abide in the same vicinity. No, in. He wants us to stay in Christ. He wants us to stay in the place where it's safe. In fact, John 15, verses 4 through 6, the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks of this. And the whole chapter 15 is about bearing fruit. It's about God being the vine and us being the branches. You know, if that branch doesn't abide in that vine, stay connected to it, will never bear fruit. And bearing fruit is another one of those signs of salvation. And so in this chapter, in verses 4 through 6, I want you to read the whole chapter. Make yourself a note that in your own time later today, read chapter 15 in John, because it goes so well with what we're reading here in 1 John. But let's just read this little caption here in these three verses. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, listen, guys, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. Guys, this is not an optional thing for Christians. This is not one of those things where we can say, well, you know, I'm saved and I know I'm going to be in heaven, but I'm not going to bother bearing any fruit. If we're not bearing fruit, it's saying something about our lack of relationship with God. I want us to live in a way that we can know that we are in Christ. Guys, not just doing things of the flesh and trying to make sure that we make it, fake it until we make it type of deal. What we need to be doing is actually seeing that God's lifeblood, His Spirit, that precious sap that flows through the vine is flowing through us and producing spiritual fruit. What's the spiritual fruit going to look like? Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit, for one. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's going to be one of the first fruits that you're going to see, guys. And then beyond that, He's also going to bring about spiritual offspring through us. Where do we start with that? Right in our own homes. If you're a parent, your own children should be ones that are you're trying to help build faith into. You can't make them follow Christ, but you can change the environment that they live in to where it becomes more and more attractive to them. And that needs to be your number one goal. As a parent, my number one goal is that I see all of my children in heaven, all of my grandchildren in heaven. I don't see any of them that I would say, I really want to see them all. I don't know how it'll work out. I mean, I'm planning on getting there before them. But even if it don't go that way, I still want to make sure. However that order goes, we all end up there. Because that's forever. What about our neighbors? What about the person down the street that really disagrees with you on a lot of things and might even take something that's yours or whatever? Ultimately, where do you want to see him spend forever? And how do you want to be used in that process? That's part of that fruit. And I think that one of the ways that we try to make sure that we're staying and abiding in Christ is just like it says in verse 24 of 1 John 2 here. Remember, what is that thing that led you to Jesus in the first place, right? What is that one thing that led you to Jesus? How did you get there? How did you gain that first love, so to speak? I'm preluding just a little bit that we're going to look at a verse there in Revelation that goes along with this one. But look at this verse 24, because it really talks very clearly, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. You see, Jesus is not separated from his word. His word brought you to Christ. His word began to live in you because he is the word who became flesh and dwelt among us. And if you heard from the beginning, if what you heard from the beginning abides in you, let it live in you. Let it become how you choose what you do, how you live your life, how you treat others, how you deal with yourself. And if that abides in you, if it stays in you, if it's living in you, then you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Guys, he spoke of this very clearly in chapter 14 of John as well. And he's talking about that. He's talking about that abiding presence and everything as well in 14. And Jesus said this in 14:23. This is not in your notes. Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Do you see? That's how that abiding presence begins, is as you accept God's word and you follow God's word and you agree with God that you're a sinner and you turn your life over to him, and then you begin to love him. It means that you're going to do what he says, and he is going to make his home in you. And then as he makes his home in you, you make your home in him too. And don't forget what led you to Jesus in the first place. In fact, Jesus says this in his letter to the churches in Revelation. We're going to pick this up, Revelation 2, in your notes, verses 4 through 5. This is to the church of Ephesus. He said, he tells them of all the things they're doing right. We love to hear about the things we're doing right. I like that. But then he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love." You know, it happens to people in their lives as a Christian. They begin to wander and drift away sometimes from that first love, which is for Christ. He says, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." This he speaks to a whole church, congregation, and body. But it happens one member at a time. As we are in unity, and as you abide in Christ and I abide in Christ, and then we serve together by abiding in Christ, who's the head of the church, then that lampstand burns full of the Spirit. And that's what we need. We need God's lampstand. Guys, do we want to see our community saved? Do we want to see the people in our community come to know Jesus? How are they going to know that you're his disciples? He said, by the way we love one another, by the way we abide in Christ, by the way that they see him coming, living through us. You see, ultimately, at the end of the day, just like Wesley was talking about those things that last forever, our greatest reward is eternal life. He reminds us of that in 1 John 2:25, that next verse. He says, "And this is the promise he promised us, eternal life." Guys, if you don't really want to live in him now, are you really going to want to live with him forever? And I think that's kind of this major disconnect that I see in the American Christian church today. You know, oftentimes people want to end up in heaven, but they don't really want to live for Christ now. And that part I just don't understand. We ought to be practicing for heaven every day, getting closer to him and enjoying time with him. If you don't want to spend 5 minutes praying and reading with him today, what makes you think you're going to want to be with him forever in heaven? If your faith isn't strong enough to bring you to church on Sunday, how do you know it's going to be strong enough to get you to heaven on Judgment Day? We really need to be asking these questions, and we need to be reminding these questions to some others who claim Christ but claim no affiliation with his body at all. We really need to be thinking these things through. And in America, what's called the Christian church, we need to be asking ourselves some real questions. Again, I always feel like I get to preach to the choir on Sunday because you guys showed up. What about all of our brothers and sisters that claim relationship that are not showing up? Are you reaching out to them? Are you talking to them about it? Are you asking them why? Not in a judgmental way, in a loving way. And if they say, well, I love Jesus, but I just don't love that church is, church is just, it's boring, it's a sham, it's, they just want something from me. You remind them that the church is the bride of Christ. The true church is the body of Christ. How are they being part of the body? Because you see, that's abiding in. I had a brother the other day who was telling me that he was all about the church or all about Christ, and he could meet with him anywhere on his property at any time. I agreed with him 100%, but here was the deal. I said, do you try to do what he says, though? And he said, oh, absolutely, every day, but he never goes to church. And I said, do you know what Hebrews 10:25 says? And he said, not really. And I said, can I remind you of what it says? And he says, yeah. And I said, you shall not forsake the assembly of the saints, which is the habit of some, but that we should continue to be together, encouraging one another and fanning those flames as the day approaches. You know what? I think it convicted him. I think it was a real moment where he actually went, I didn't know it said that. Did you ever realize they may not know what it says? So maybe just in love, we can say it without judgment and ask them if they know. Now, they're responsible for how they deal with it, but here's the thing. I think abiding in Christ includes being in the body of Christ. So I praise God that you're here today. Let's continue to invite others to be a part of it as well. And here's something else that we want to keep in mind. Verse 26 reminds us of false teachers are going to try to deceive us, guys. They are going to try to deceive us all the time. He says, these things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But I want you to remain in him, to abide in him so that they can't deceive you. You remember what Jesus said? He said, many false Christs were going to come. They're going to be convincing enough to deceive even the church if that were possible. The elect, as he called us there. You see, the Holy Spirit is what you really need in you to help you to understand the teachers from the false teachers, to even be able to understand the scriptures. I remember before I got saved, I tried to read the Bible a little bit, and it was all Greek to me. It was like it hadn't even been translated yet. And I would try, and I'd get discouraged, and I'd put it away, and I'd try again, because I knew that there had to be something good in there. But, I just couldn't quite get it. And after I accepted Christ, something changed. It ain't like I understand everything about it, but I began to get it. I began to understand the point of a lot of the passages. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit was living in here. If the Holy Spirit's living in you, you got what it takes to be able to tell the right teachings from the wrong teachings, providing that you're allowing this Word of God to be put in you. This is a good step. This is once a week, coming and listening to a sermon, having your Bibles open, having your notes, writing down extra notes, asking those questions, and praying in the Spirit. That's one day a week. Boy. You eat physical food more than one day a week, right? I hope you're eating the spiritual food more than one day a week. It's abiding in him. And he goes on. Let's look at this verse in verse 27. He says, but the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. Now, this isn't telling us that we shouldn't be taught by others, that we shouldn't meet together in Bible study. What this is saying is you, as a believer, have the same one living in you that I have living in me. And so we should be able to fellowship in the teaching. And whenever you hear someone teaching, that it's not coming from the Spirit of God, don't doubt yourself in the Word of God then. You should know that God will give you the understanding that you need to be able to move forward. You know, I've actually been in rooms with individuals that have much higher education sometimes. But just education alone isn't what gives us what we need to be able to preach and to speak and to reason the Word of God. The Holy Spirit living in you and this book is what you need. You go forward with that. You find good teachers that will help build you up in that, and you keep going forward with God. And you'll be able to see what is true, and you'll be able to tell that it's not a lie. And just as it is taught you, you will abide in Him. Guys, He wants us to have that same anointing teaching us on the inside. And then you'll have what you need, and it will be consistent with anointed teachers that you come across as well. Isn't it awesome how whenever God's feeding you and you turn on the radio and you hear a good anointed teacher and he's like, talk about the same thing? That's been happening to me a lot here lately. I listen to a guy named Brian Fisher, a podcast that he puts out, and he starts every one of his broadcasts out with a good Bible teaching. And here lately, he has just been going along in the same scriptures we've been studying as a family and all these different things. I don't know how he knows. It's awesome because he has the same spirit in living in him that's living in us. And I mean, it's like we're jiving together. We're building, you know, I just wish that radio worked both ways, or that internet broadcast worked both ways, because I'd love to encourage him with the fact that he is speaking right where I'm at. So whenever that happens here in this church, let me know about it, because it encourages me. If you hear me say something you're not sure where it's coming from biblically, don't be afraid to ask me. Because, guys, I'm not intimidated by it. If the same Spirit's living in you that's living in me and coming through this book, we're going to be jiving together, right? We're going to be going in the same direction. We don't need to fear. In fact, we need to feel confidence in that. And just remember, if you're already abiding in Him, it's just going to be natural to be with Him. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, you know, Jesus is going to appear someday, amen? We sang about it this morning. Do you believe it? When He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. You just live so close to Jesus now that it'll only be natural when you take your last breath or He comes to receive His bride, that you just step right into being with Him forever. You see, if we abide in Him, it's just going to be natural to be with Him. And if we abide in Him, here's the thing, we should become more like Him. Do I get an amen to that? If we're abiding with Him, if we're learning from Him, if we have Him living in us, don't you think we should begin to look more like Him each day? Like by responding the way He would respond? By like showing the same kind of gentleness and grace that He shows? By loving the things that He loves and hating the things that He hates? Yes, God does hate things. He hates evil. He hates the things that harm people and the false teachings that turn people away from Him. He loves the people. Do you love God's people? Do you love the people of the world? You see, He goes on to say, if you know He is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. And that's righteousness as defined by God. You know, we've got this whole false righteousness in our culture these days. It's called virtue signaling. The government is becoming God to people. And if you want to win some points in this world, you better echo their talking points and their morality. You know what, guys? I'm never going to be very popular in this world. I'm not even going to try to be. What I want to do is become more like Him every day. Do you know what they did to him when he came? Jesus. Nailed him to a cross, folks. You're not going to be able to be popular in the world and really be more like Christ. So what we need to do if we want to abide in him is make up our mind, I want to be right with Christ more than anything else. And I'm not going to worry about what everyone else thinks of me, but I'm going to try to be a good example of what he would be like. And you know what I think will happen? I think you'll have spiritual fruit. People that really want to know him will see it, and they'll want to be a part of it. And what's awesome about this is, no matter what happens in the world, you're not controlled by it anymore. You see, if you're being like Christ, you're being controlled with the one who's above the world. He's above all of the struggles. He's boss. Not the President of the United States, and surely not the Prime Minister of Canada right now. God's bigger. We serve the boss that's bigger. So we don't have to be rocked by the world. When a sickness comes along, it's not going to change the way we follow Christ. When the world tries to redefine marriage, not going to change the way we follow Christ. Even if they come in like the Soviet Union did to Romania and says, you stop preaching the gospel, we're going to put you in prison. It's not going to change the way we follow Christ. Our dear brothers and sisters in China, pray for them. 2021 brought about the year of the harshest persecution on them, but do you know what they're doing? They are bearing fruit. They are still flourishing. The church is still growing. You know why? Because they're showing the sign of that salvation. And we'll just put it together like in a nutshell here for you to take home in a nice, easy package. One of those signs of salvation is abiding in God, not easily deceived by false teachers, ready for his return, looking forward to it every day, and becoming more like him. If those are the evidences that you see in your life, then you rejoice with him today. If you can see in your life that maybe, you know, there's some areas that I need to work on, and I'm going to tell you, every time I go to the scriptures, that happens to me. Then here's my great news for you. You go to him. He will not turn you away. He promises. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's just make sure that we are living in Christ every day. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you will help us to live in you. Not just with you, around you, sort of in the same vicinity. I'm a church member, or my mom and dad were Christians. That's not enough. The only thing that's enough is for us to really be living in you each and every day. Help us, Lord, to abide in Christ, to remain in, to stay there, until either we go to be with you or you come to gather us up. In Jesus' name, amen.